All right, let's practice together. Allowing yourself this precious, precious opportunity to pause midweek, midday. And this pause is not a pause in the sense of somehow stopping the stream of experience. It's actually a pause that has the flavor or the feeling of, you know, if you're walking along a riverbank and you stop and you really turn toward the river. You really open to the flow that is moving through the moment. So it's a pause to immerse ourselves in presence, to immerse ourselves in the moment. So, pausing and presencing yourself in your body with intention. So, most of us are already positioned, sitting or perhaps lying down, whatever is kind for your body right now. And what we layer into this positioning of the body is a real sense of awareness. So knowing the body in the position that it is arranged. Feeling the pressure, the weight, the points of contact where the body is met and supported by a surface. Allowing any micro movements to support the alignment of the spine. If sitting, we often stack, you know, knees over ankles and then shoulders over hips. And there's an elongation through the back of the neck as we slightly tuck the chin, and with an exhalation, allowing a softening through the shoulders and perhaps a relaxing through the hands. Each exhalation inviting a letting go of any unnecessary efforting. And there might be a gentle sweeping of awareness through the body. Another layer of arriving. Some of the subtle adjustments. A softening through the eyes. A relaxing through the jaw. A releasing through the belly. letting go of any tensing or bracing in the lower body. Really letting the body know that this is a period where it can rest in relative stillness. As we slow down, and simplify by gathering the awareness to a felt sense of the breath, letting the breath be a place to rest the mind, to rest attention, as a support for relaxing the thinking muscle. And as the mind perhaps begins to settle like a snow globe, resting on the stability of the table of the breath, it's coming back again and again each time the mind is captivated by a sound or a story or a sensation, simplifying and settling back on the breath. Noticing where your attention is. Bringing your awareness to the next breath. Coming in closer to the breath to become intimate with the arising and passing of the breath. Seeing if you can become aware of the beginning of a breath. From that beginning, following the expansion of the lungs, as the wave of the breath rises to its crest, perhaps feeling the slight pause at the top of an inhalation. And the rolling over the breath into the exhalation. The letting go, following the release of the breath to the point of emptying. And perhaps noticing a slight pause before the next inhalation begins. Exploring in these next minutes the changing nature of the breath. In whatever way feels interesting and accessible to you, maybe the simplicity of noticing that there's an arising and a passing of each breath, maybe even silently noting arising, passing. Or here, gone. Or it might be the detailed noticing of the whole trajectory of a wave of the breath. And not thinking about the changing nature of breath, but seeing if from the inside out you can experience, you can feel how the breath is always moving. as we come into the final minutes of our practice today. Pausing to reflect on the goodness of taking time to slow down, to settle, to simplify. To be present. Fully present to the flow of life. Even for the duration of one breath. And how this practice of presence might extend into the presence you can offer to those you come in contact with today and in the coming days. A presence that might come with a heart that wishes all beings a measure of ease, peace, and freedom. So, change is evident on the microscopic level of the breath, you know, close in, and it's evident all around us on a large scale. You know, change of climate, change of, you know, social systems, political ideologies, you know, on any scale, change is part of experience. And it's a part of experience that many of us do not extend hospitality to. You know, we often have quite a bit of ambivalence about change, particularly because we don't necessarily get to control the flavor of change, you know, which direction it's going in, right? We can be friendlier to those changes that feel like they're bending to our preferences. And many of the changes we experience don't. So, Socrates said it this way, if you don't get what you want, you suffer. If you get what you don't want, you suffer. Even if you get exactly what you want, you still suffer because you can't hold on to it forever. Your mind is your predicament. It wants to be free of change, free of pain, free of the obligations of life and death. But change is law, and no amount of pretending will alter that reality. So this is sort of the wisdom of the ages, right? And we see the bridge here, right? From the first characteristic of unsatisfactoriness and a relationship with change. Yeah, that we're looking for that reliability. We want to lean on life as if it's solid, you know. We want to lean on this life as if it's a wall, a solid wall, and what we often find is that we're leaning on a waterfall, right? It's just this constant stream of change. Helen Keller said, security is mostly a superstition. You know, that security that we are chasing. And it's not that there can't be some sense of stability in life, but the stability is found more in what our practice is pointing us to, the stability of heart, the stability of awareness that meets the flow of change in life. And our peace is found in that place, in the capacity to have a relationship with change. You know, a bit of I guess humor as a gardener. I appreciate this, you know, thinking about impermanence, the impermanence of time. And I know that in this group we have talked about the some of the manifestations of change in their larger arc of this life of aging, illness, and dying, you know, the march of time. And so I was looking at, I came across this gardening quote of, you know, how do we meet change? Sometimes we meet it, you know, quite skillfully. Bill Cannon says, well, if the plant is slow growing and you are getting older, you may want to start with a larger plant. I find myself buying larger plants each year. And I was thinking about that too, you know. I was like, oh, do I buy this little guy or do I buy this guy? You know, so, you know, sometimes having a sense of humor about change and our relationship with change is helpful too. You know, it doesn't have to be so dead serious as we're thinking about this. And it's helpful to, you know, to really recognize that the problem is not change itself. It's the struggle that we have with change, the argument that we have with change. Just one more quote for today, and then we'll unpack this a little more. Pema Chodron, from her book Living Beautifully with Uncertainty and Change, says, it's not impermanence per se, or even knowing that we're going to die, that is the cause of our suffering. Rather, it's our resistance to the fundamental uncertainty of our situation. Our discomfort arises from all our efforts to put ground under our feet, to realize our dream of constant okayness. When we resist change, it's called suffering. But when we completely let go and don't struggle against it, when we can embrace the groundlessness of our situation and relax into its dynamic quality, that's called enlightenment or awakening to our true nature, to our fundamental goodness. Another word for that is freedom. Freedom from struggling against the fundamental ambiguity of being human. So there's this, you know, it's like the flip of a coin, right? We struggle and we suffer. And if we allow in some way, we rest into the groundlessness, there's freedom. There's freedom not from the groundlessness itself, but from the struggle with it. And you know, That can be a tall order to wrap our hearts and minds around in any given moment. I really honor that. And I keep inviting it, keep inviting an exploration, a cultivation of this capacity to go with the flow, you know, and to recognize that we're living in the movie of life. You know, we keep trying to like cut out one frame from the movie and like hang it on a wall and say, this is it, this is life, right? And it's like, nope, the film keeps going. You know, it's like we're not living in a photograph, we're living in a movie. And so how do we work with that? And one of the places that I want to point to that trips us up, and I think we'll take a second week on impermanence. This one's such a juicy one that it's worth at least 2 weeks, I think, is to look at that place that we get really stuck. And we've looked at this before, but this is one of those places that repetition is so helpful, is and what influences our relationship with change is often the flavor of the moment, that pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, right? So that's the sneak preview in the movie for next week, is the flavor of the moment. But what I want to invite today in the breakout rooms is just a chance for you to reflect on, what's your relationship with change? What's your relationship with impermanence? And it's probably complex and multidimensional. So it's like just some nugget that is alive for you when you think about change. And maybe to consider the places that are sticky or difficult, but also to allow space for the places you might have a wise or a more friendly relationship with change. Because it's easy to focus in on the places that we struggle, but I also want you to not miss the places we often ripen or mature into some peace with elements of change, and to acknowledge those as well. So I'll gift you a little time with each other to visit. So let's see. What did I do? Let's see. Add a room. Okay. Let's see. All right. Here we go. Oh, good. All right. Enjoy each other. Welcome back. I'll just see if there's any wisdom about impermanence and change that you would like to share. Or questions, curiosities, challenges. You do not. So if there's something you want to speak, please do. And then there's, yeah, and so you can speak and then she can. There's plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Thank you, Julie. It is. It is. And you know what I might invite this week is, you know, you might play with relating to change on different scales. Like sometimes really to bring it in close, like we did in the practice of just the change in the breath. You know, it might be the scale of change that one can cope with on any given day. I know that's true, you know, for me. It's like sometimes I really do have to rest into change on this small scale. Because when I really try to hold it all, it's like, oh, overwhelm. So it's kind of like those circles of engagement that we've talked about sometimes, that safety, challenge, overwhelm, and I might bring that in a little more detail next week. When we get overwhelmed, it's like, okay, we have to come back in close and stabilize and settle. And you might even play too with noticing. For some people, they can really tune into beginnings. You know, oh, the beginning of a breath. Oh, the beginning of a breath. Sometimes people can tune into endings. Oh, the ending of a breath. Ending of a breath, or sometimes it's just the whole arc of change. So you might play with that too. Sometimes there's ways of, you know, where or how do I touch into change? And in support of that, I'll read, some of you I think have heard this before, but I really like what Susa Talon points us to in her little piece entitled E is for Endings. For the wise reminder that endings don't just happen at the big end of a movie or a day or a life. They happen all day long. Breakfast ends, coffee too, a conversation, a feeling, a moment of praise or blame. It all comes to an end. If we can meet and know the moment-to-moment endings each day, then maybe the big ones won't feel so big. So, you might just compassionately explore scale of change this week. And actually, I'm going to double check my calendar because it might be that you get 2 weeks with this, because I think next week is a week that I have another obligation midday, and I do. So I will be back July 6th and we will look at change again. So take good care and, see what you discover. I'll look forward to hearing in 2 weeks.